My name is Rod Russ, and my wife Jean and I have 5 children and 19 grandchildren. And I'm an example that God can change anybody, and that he has a great sense of humor. I've been an RTS trustee for about 16 years, even though I'm not a member, not an elder at First Pres or a deacon. This group understands. I grew up a devout Roman Catholic and hated school. It took me 3 times to pass freshman English at Ole Miss. And that's interesting raw material for an RTS graduate, RTS trustee. Thank goodness salvation belongs to the Lord. I grew up in Jackson, the oldest of 5 children, 4 boys and a girl. And life was good. I remember hunting and fishing trips with my brothers and father, and riding horses regularly when I was about 12. I never was too concerned about anything. I just went on to the next thing. Enjoyed everything except school. I finished graduate school, got married, passed the CPA exam, got a job, bought a house, had 2 children, a boy and a girl, and that kind of was everything I wanted in life, but I still wasn't satisfied. About this time, my wife wanted to switch churches, and so our children, who were 5 and 7, could go to a Sunday school class. And I wanted our children to learn the Bible stories, but I just didn't want to change churches. One that I had known all my life and been faithful to even during college. I believe the Bible was true, I just didn't know what it said. I was excited at the time RTS was founded because these men believed that the Bible was the literal word of God. I liked the idea, I just didn't know what it meant. Jean had 2 sisters that were at First Pres, and so our compromise was that we would take our children to First Pres to Sunday school, and then we'd go to our old church. And of course, that meant that Jean and I had to go to a Sunday school class too. After the first Sunday, a friend of mine invited us to a couple's Bible study. And I guess because it wasn't Jean's idea, I accepted. And after I hung up, I realized that I needed to get a Bible, because the only one we had, you had to have a dolly to move around. We only used it as a decoration. It was never actually read. It was the second week before I realized that the minister leading the class, the study, was a minister. After the first lesson, we just talked about hunting. This 2 church routine continued as the Bible study wound through Philippians. But when we got to Philippians 4:6, things started to change for me. When I read, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything," I couldn't believe it, because being a CPA and being me, all I did was worry. I sweated the small stuff. The pastor leading the Bible study was Bill Whitwer, and he encouraged us to see if we could apply this verse this next week. God has a great sense of humor. I was working on preparing a financial statement, but it didn't balance. And if you think an accountant can worry about nothing, you ought to see when he's out of balance. The saying is, accountants don't get old, they just lose their balance. I remember the Bible verse, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything," and prayed that I would find the difference, but it didn't happen. Then I realized that I had stopped worrying, even though I was out of balance. God was changing me without changing my circumstances. I think God was giving me a free sample of his grace to amaze me, and it did. Somewhere along the way, Jean had started going to a young mother's Bible study, and came on the philosophy of Christian womanhood, and came and told me that she was wrong to insist that we change churches, and if we wanted to go back to my old church, that she wouldn't object. I said, "Fine, we'll go back, but we'll keep going to Bible study." I never had a problem believing part of the truth the Bible presented, namely that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. I did not believe I was really that bad of a sinner. Being a good boy is what I'd done all my life. We got sidetracked one night in the Bible study and wandered over to 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. It finally broke through to me that what I thought about myself and how God looked at me were different. That night I acknowledged my sinfulness in God's sight and my need for his forgiveness. My prayer was short but sweet. I opened my eyes a new man. I could see changes that God was doing in my life. I tried to give Bill Whitmer some money to express my thankfulness and did not even care if I got a tax deduction. I can still remember him saying, there's no use being foolish about it. And so I gave the money to First Pres, and Bill used to bring speakers. We brought in Archie Manning's high school coach, Elvis's barber, and a former Memphis State linebacker that used to stop and beat up homeless men and hitchhikers. He was volunteering at a rescue mission in Memphis. Everywhere I turned, I was getting fed and growing. Bad habits were being removed and good habits were replacing them. I went to a conference that seemed to jumpstart my growth with two suggestions. The first was to ask for forgiveness. I started asking people to forgive me for things that had happened years ago. I was amazed they remembered. The second was to make a vow to read the Bible for 5 minutes every day. I did that too. I just couldn't get enough. I've not always been faithful to do the reading, but God's always been faithful to remind me. You can't imagine what a change that was for me, who was at that time reading very little of anything. Thanks to a Kindle, I'm just about through with the City of God. I've been on 100% for the last year. I knew I needed to do something to leave my family, but that terrified me. By then, we had 5 children, 10 years apart, and Gene was a lot better teacher than I was. For us, the Lord's answer was Bible verses after breakfast. Gene and I still do that now, along with the time of prayer with each other. And we pray for our children, our grandchildren, friends and family, and missionaries. Are you praying with your closest neighbor? It's a hard thing to start, but like everything else, it will get easier. Do not explain why you're doing this. Your wife has low or no expectations. Whatever you do will be a winner. That was the thing that got me over the hump. Another thing that the Lord has used in my life has been catechisms. I had learned a catechism growing up and remembered part of it, but I could teach my children knowing that they would remember it and it was the truth. Regular time in God's Word is priceless. Imagine the impact this regular time could have in your life over the next 20, 30, or 50 years. Do you know what the chief end of man is? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. How did Jesus glorify God? What does the Bible say? John 17:4 says, I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. The Bible tells us that it's not by works that we are saved, but it's for works that we are saved. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How do we know what these good works are? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word and God's Spirit will guide and prepare you to go where He calls you to go to glorify and enjoy Him. Another thing that is the Lord has used in my life has been ongoing relationships with other men. I have a friend that needed a prayer partner for evangelism explosion, and so I agreed. And as he says, no one told us to stop, and we've been meeting together once a week for over 35 years. Before COVID, for 30 years, our church had a Thursday morning men's breakfast with a devotion and time of prayer. Only other men can hold you accountable. When you're called to a church, be on the lookout for men to hold you accountable. Your accountability partner does not have to be like you. Neil and I are different. My chief end is the bottom line. His is the process. I've learned that both are important. Because of the time we spent together, we can trust each other even when we do not agree. With women, it's not so much accountability as relationship building for comfort and support and encouragement. If your wife is supportive of what you're doing, you can accomplish great things. God will not send the two of you in different directions. I worked for a real estate firm for about 12 years, and at the end of that time, there were three owners. One was 30, one was 40, and one was 75. Not surprisingly, they wanted to do different things. So over a period of the next 2 years, I divided them up. But they still wanted to form a partnership to pay me. And I said, no, I spent 2 years dividing you up. You don't need to do anything together. And so I went out on my own, and this is not something that I had always dreamed of. I was terrified. If Jean had not helped me, I had not been able to unpack the boxes in my new office. After the first month, Jean asked me where our paycheck was. I told her that I'd been so busy I hadn't had time to send out the bills. The next morning, she was down at the office sending out bills. We had, you know, five children in three different schools, but she understood what was really important. Today, I work with three of my brothers and my favorite nephew. We did a lot of fighting growing up, and then a lot of growing up before we got together. When I graduated from Ole Miss, there were probably 35 accounting graduates. I started my job and was told that I was well prepared and would do good on the CPA exam. They were right. Two of my grandsons have graduated from Ole Miss, an accounting class of 660. Those 660 graduates had jobs across the nation in 26 states. The first RTS class had 14 graduates in the MDiv program. This past year, there were 204 MDiv grads. 92% of those graduates were placed within 6 months of graduation. In the RTS system, there are 47 full-time and adjunct professors. You're being well prepared. And you'll do well on your ordination exams. When you go to your first call, you need to plan to stay there a while. 5 years is a good target. You don't need to take advantage of the transfer portal. God uses His word in difficult people and difficult situations to change us. And that's what He intends to do. He intends to conform us to the image of His Son. Not just pour truth into us, but Christ is truth. Lord is still in work in me. My current favorite Bible verse is Psalm 119:96. To all perfection I see a limit, but Your commands are boundless. This verse brings me peace when things are less than perfect. Working with people is messy. I do better when I concentrate on God's mercy to me. Despite my imperfections, than on the perceived imperfection of others. But God is, I cannot change them, but God is changing me. Christ is my perfection in my time of need. Remember God's promises. They will provide treasure for you and your families and your ministries. Before I pray just a second, I had a client call me, or I talked to a client this morning from in Atlanta, and she said, oh, I hear you're going to do the chapel program. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, let me pray for you. And she had the opportunity to do for me what I'd done for her when her father died 6 months ago. But anyway, it's a small world in the RTS and PCA family. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. We thank You that You're able to change hopeless situations in a way that brings You glory. Father, we just pray for those that are the students that are studying, the teachers that are instructing. Father, just pray for the administration, for the board, and just pray for Your wisdom. We thank You just for the opportunity to come before You today, to sing Your praises, and to acknowledge our dependence upon You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.